Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Oh yeah, that be me. Or that is I. How you doing? Welcome to the program. It is February 7th, 2023. And the world still is relatively intact, sort of, kind of. And my sister's on the line. Hi, Suze.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay. Sniffling, nasal, stop dabbing.
Yeah, I know. I was wondering if your producer was listening to me cough, blow my nose, clear my throat.
Well, yeah, listen, I know.
Well, you know, when it's 40 below one day and then 50 the next, your nose runs.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, you listen, as we well know, your nose runs 365 days.
My nose runs no matter what. It is clearly the thing that makes my whole body tick.
Yeah, it's a faucet. So, it's going up to supposedly like, it's going to be 60 degrees Thursday, so I'll tell you, winter ain't what it used to be. But
no,
it was talking about the weather.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I just want to say it was 50 degrees here, but however, we all slept through it. It like happened at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's been colder ever since.
Okay, well, but that in Chicago is, I mean, it's just nuts.
Whatever. It is nuts.
Anyway, I want to. There's so much going on and there's so much horror. Can you think, I mean, there's certain places on earth that you think if you have the misfortune of being born into one of those places, I mean, your life is pretty much from day one. And I'm thinking Haiti, you know, it's like God has decided if there is a God, God has said, Haiti is going to be my, you know, the worst place for any human being. I don't get it. But, you know, Syria is another.
Syria is another. And, yeah. And
I mean,
Turkey used to be something. And then, you know, around 1975, it changed, 1982 or something. It changed a lot. I don't know.
Well,
it was very westernized and then it stopped.
Well,
that's what happened. Yeah,
that's it. Well, I think Erdogan is what happened.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who the hell knows? But you know the horror of what's going on with those people. And the thing is, earthquakes in Turkey is a given. That's a given. And it reminded me, of course, of one of what I always think of as a funny story from my television past, but now it's, you know, it's not so funny, but I know that hurricanes, did I say
earthquakes
before?
Earthquakes.
Did I say hurricanes before?
I don't think so. If
or
you
did
my...
I say gabsmocked?
I really liked gabsmocked.
All right. Well, listen, I think I'm losing it. I do. And I think I...
Well, you're old now, Lynn.
I know,
happening.
But I was thinking, I was walking the dog last night, and I was thinking, you know, I was on Tom Brady about not knowing when to hang it up, and I'm thinking I should hang it up pretty soon. I mean, because I'm starting to embarrass myself. Seriously.
Well, we could argue that on so many different levels.
Well, this is true, but my head just is not, you know, not as sharp as it used to be. And I'm embarrassing myself.
For heaven's sake, because you misspoke one word. It's no big deal. Well,
yeah,
so do I.
I think yesterday when I was ending the show and somebody could tell me this, if this is true, I was talking about how I wasn't going to watch the State of the Union address, that I can't stand it. I can't take it. I'm not going to do it. But I was talking about that. And then I think in my head, I was thinking it was that night. In other words, last night. And I last night when I was having trouble sleeping, I was thinking, did you sort of like during the show, were you like clearly suggesting that the State of the Union address was that? I was thinking, oh my God, you know, the audience must be Jesus. She is really.
Well, gee, you know, of all the ways I can think of to have a good night's sleep, trying to enumerate the number of ways I may or may not have humiliated myself during the course of the Father's Day.
Well, Well, this is
that ain't one of them.
I have trouble. That's I know. It's not a wise thing to lay your head on a pillow and then say, now let me recount all of the humiliating things that have occurred today. No wonder I don't. No wonder. Anyway, I'm just telling you guys, it's so the turkey thing. I know that Turkey is a huge earthquake place because of this story that I've always told. So the year would have been, it would have been in the 70s. That's a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
In the 70s, and I was in my first years in television, and I was working the weekends, and it's hard to even believe, but I was essentially the only reporter, the anchor, the producer, and I even shot film. We were doing film then. And I would have to, like, pretty much throw a newscast together by myself. It was a very small newsroom, and who cared about Saturdays and Sundays? And one of the things you did is once you figured out what you were going to do on the show, you would see if there were any visuals you could put with whatever it was you were babbling about. And this is in the days, again, before we didn't have the stuff you have now, Chiron and that kind of thing, that was not available. What we had were literally slides. And we had a whole file thing of slides. And they had, you know, like States of the Union, blah, blah, blah. There was a slot, maps, things. It was sort of almost like an emoji kind of menu. You know, and you would have to go through them and yank stuff out to give to the director. So when I start that story, that slide comes up. And there had been a horrible earthquake in Turkey. And that was one of my
stories. Oh, no. Please don't tell me it's Turkey.
Unbeknownst to me, because I was doing too much. I saw we had a turkey slide. I pulled it out. It went on. I am talking about the horrors of thousands dead in Turkey. And over my left shoulder is a dead roasted Thanksgiving turkey on a platter. Unbeknownst to me, because I can't see it.
Well, here's the good news. Anyone in the audience wasn't going to blame you because it wouldn't occur to them that it was your fault.
Yeah, right.
Surely
right.
Somebody else made that mistake.
Yeah, surely. And because I was absolutely, I only heard about it later when the director said, "What the hell? We put up and there was a turkey." And then he pulled it off right away. But you have to believe that for the viewers in South Central Wisconsin, people had to be just laughing like mad. I mean, so it was good. That's a good thing when you can make people a story that normally they wouldn't even give a damn about now becomes funny, although it's not funny at all, right?
No.
So anyway.
Probably half the people in Wisconsin think of when you say turkey.
That's right. Well, that's what I know. And did you see they changed the name? We are not supposed – I think it's Erdogan. He changed the spelling of turkey because of
turkey.
The bird. Yeah. And I forget what it is now. It's something – and if you're – again, if you're somebody who goes with the flow and changes when you find out, oh, that offends the Turks – well, then, turkey is spelled something like T. I don't know. P-U-R-K, there's an I? I don't know. But I've seen it, but it doesn't, it's not going to stick in my head. Anyway, there's that. God help those poor people. God help those poor people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every time you look, the death toll is going up another 1,000.
Oh, it's just going to be huge. It's going to be, I mean, they can't even, they're, God, unbelievable.
Well, and of course, there's one building is standing and the next one to it is not, because everybody, the one next to it was built by someone that was paying someone off and didn't have the earthquake standards that it was supposed to have.
Well, some of the older buildings that didn't have, you know, the
older ones are one question.
Yeah, the old and others. Well, right. I was talking yesterday about how this is where, you know, people who decry government, this is how government saves lives, by having regulations, right?
And enforcing
them. Kind of thing, yes, and enforcing them. And this is the kind of thing where people just feel like government is, I'm trying to build a house, and I have to get a permit for this, and this has to be exactly like that. And you can see where, from that point of view, it's just a pain in the neck, and the government's driving you nuts. But
and it makes things far more expensive. But
yeah,
if, in fact, what's happening is that when you have that flood, depending on where you live, your basement windows are protected by basically a huge wall that doesn't allow floodwaters to come in through your basement. Or if you, you know, are built to standards that will withstand an earthquake, or if you are required to last your water heater to the wall. I mean, these things are all designed to keep you alive.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And anybody who happens upon your property.
And anybody that's seen these things happen, I never noticed that before until, and then one of my nephews, having just finished their basement and moved their youngest, their eldest daughter down to the basement in her bedroom, along comes a flash flood and broke out the window into her bedroom and flooded that whole room. I mean, it just totally traumatized them. If it had been built to today's standards, it would in fact have this huge, basically a moat around it. You know, mm-hmm. a huge wall, a dam is more appropriate.
But, well, the other big story around here, Denny, is, well, we had a big news day yesterday. We had two police officers shot, one killed.
Right.
And then we had the, what they said was a controlled
controlled burn of that train wreck,
Which looked like the end of the world. Okay, so I want to, I just want to, first of all, I didn't know anything. Susan's the one who texted me, what was that, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
2 or 3 days ago? Susan texted me that a friend of hers, who I do know, was, what, had texted you.
That had texted
said,
me expressing worry, and I said,
about
what?
Is your sister okay? And Susan says, what? And the friend says, well, the train wreck. And then Susan texted me that there was concern for my safety because of the train wreck. And I looked at it and thought, what? I didn't know anything about a train wreck. So I Googled train wreck Pittsburgh, and I did find something.
Right.
But this is so funny how people, you know, people hearing something happened in Pennsylvania or the word Pittsburgh appears in the story.
Yeah, it was like North Pittsburgh or something. It was in the story.
Right. Right. And then you hear, then people start getting phone calls. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Well, we're just fine, maybe. Although I do wonder, with the prevailing winds always coming from Ohio right over my head.
Yeah, that's what she was worried about.
Well, I don't know. Listen, I have to tell you, my favorite
Listen, but in the defense of my friend, it was she who sent up the early alarm 3.5 years ago about COVID. and got men had mother and me masked and everything else and in when they were still available.
So, well, so it helps to be a paranoid or have a friend who's a paranoid.
I just let her do all the worrying for me, and then I assess at the time.
Well, the thing is, here's what I want to say. With our infrastructure being what it is, with our railways being what they are, which is not top-notch, which is why we don't have passenger service as well. I mean, it's just
because we built the highways, and we didn't want people to use the rails anymore. And then
these are not what the hell. Speaking of government keeping us safe, how the hell are these lethal chemicals allowed to be transported right past people's houses on these lousy rails? What if that thing had derailed in Pittsburgh?
The thing is that this does happen. We have these discussions every time this happens. There are times when they are transporting atomic waste past residential areas.
Makes me very uncomfortable. So you start looking at what the chemicals are, and it's every manner of horror you can imagine. All the crap they use to make pesticides, vinyl chloride, which does, you know, plastic this, plastic that, everything.
PVC pipe.
And coat wires, cables, car parts. It does a lot of crap. Has anybody said where they were offloading this crap? Because I'm curious. I really am curious. What was the destination? I have not seen. Of all the reporting, I have not seen what was the destination of this train from hell. I don't know. But we've got a new plant here, courtesy of Shell Oil, right north of Pittsburgh, that's called a cracker plant, and it ain't making Ritz crackers. It's making plastic pellets. And I was sort of wondering if this wasn't heading that way. And that plant, since it just started up, has been spewing crap into the atmosphere. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I so feel for all the people. And it was, I have no idea. Is there a connection? Probably not. Somebody else would have asked that question by now. But where was it going? And I heard a scientist say, you know, this stuff is so dangerous. It's so dangerous that if it is necessary for the manufacture of this, that, and the other thing, then we have got to mandate that it be on-site manufactured. In other words, this stuff should never be transported.
Right. They should be, if they want to look at substances that they want to label, you know, extraordinarily dangerous, maybe they should take marijuana off and put this stuff on.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. And where did I see that they were concerned that there might be some leakage from these chemicals into the water table and into the water supply, and people in that area who often have wells as opposed to, you know, the way we, because it's rural, are worried that their water now is totally contaminated. And then I saw somewhere where they said, I wouldn't worry about it. It was, we're releasing, this water, something about it was draining into, I kid you not, something called Sulfur Run, a nearby stream. So the fact that this noxious bunch of deadly chemicals is now potentially polluting a stream that was named Sulphur Run suggests that the poor people out there have been living with this kind of crapola for a long time.
Right. That it's the God himself had made that putrid stream.
Now, the little town where the poor people might never go home again, I don't know, is east. I turned on the local news. This is a rare event for me because I knew all this crap was happening. And I turned on the local news, and man, they were going berserk. They had two huge breaking stories, same time, the release, the plume of smoke, the police officers. And this is where you see that some of these anchors, by the way, are not capable of doing much more than reading. It was painful to watch some of what I saw. I mean, just unable to handle like a big breaking story and be coherent and give information. But I was surprised that they were pronouncing the name of the town, because when I looked at it, it looks to me like East Palestine.
They're saying Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that must be I'm assuming that somebody checked on how to.
I think that's how they pronounce it.
Well, here we have North Versailles.
Well, and in the town one up from Alloway, where we grew up, is DePere.
Yeah, DePere. And Alloway, which is EV on the end, which suggests the history of Green Bay was first French. It was the French who were there. And by the way, Alloway, I always say I'm from Green Bay. Green Bay has – Alloway is, a few blocks from Green Bay. Well, they border on each other.
Right. It's the township immediately north. But to call it a suburb would suggest that there's a burb. It's
it's just a little village.
It's just Wisconsin is a series of little villages.
Well, so I don't know. It's one horror after another, which is why when I read the story about the 700 pounds of acorns in the
not crack you up?
Is that not the most wonderful story? For those of you who missed it, somebody in California noticed that they had maggots and stuff. Seemed to be in one of their coming out of the wall, and so they called a pest control person who thought, we probably got a dead animal in here somewhere. And they drill a little hole in the wall, and out tumble a bunch of acorns.
Well, actually, they cut a 4x4 section in there so he could get an arm in because he'd have.
Yes, right. Okay, 4x4, and acorns start tumbling into this room.
As if one had opened a silo. Imagine it that way.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly right. And until they said I can't believe it's 700 pounds.
700 pounds filled seven huge trash bags.
Big bags. I can't believe that one bag was 100 pounds. That's why I think they're slightly exaggerating, but I've seen pictures. And man, the number
they said it stood. It filled the room. It stood.
Now, lest you think it was a very hyperactive squirrel, it turns out it's woodpeckers. I didn't know.
And they're called the acorn woodpecker.
And they do hoard. They need the acorns for the females to, I can't remember all of it.
To stay fat while they're nesting. And they do hoard. I mean, if they find them, they do it. But what they thought, I mean, they probably were wondering where these all went because they were sticking them in what they thought were smaller things, but they were falling through.
They were sticking them in the chimney.
Right.
Wasn't it? In a chimney
they were sticking
area.
Them in parts of the chimney and chinks in the chimney to use for later, but they were falling through. They had made so many holes that they were falling through and filling up the space in between the walls.
How the hell many acorns? And I mean, you think...
And for how many years?
I want to know how many starving squirrels are in the area. Good God. And then, if you look at the picture, it didn't look like acorn. No acorn I know.
No, that was a weird looking nut.
It's not the acorn, you know, I think of an acorn and that cute little cap on top, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah. A little, yeah. That's the kind I got here. I got me some acorns. And these acorns, their pile of acorns, were all sort of elongated.
The same pale, because they looked like peanuts.
Yeah, they looked more like fingerling potatoes.
Yeah.
And what kind of acorn is that? Obviously,
I don't know, but I like the part where there seemed to be a bunch of disgruntled woodpeckers out on the lawn as they were leaving.
Yeah, as they were pulling the stuff out. There are a bunch of woodpeckers outside, and they're
picketing, as it were.
Out. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah,
well, at least giving them back their acorns for crying out loud. They didn't have to take them away. They could have just dumped them in the woods.
Unfriggin' believable. Yeah, they shouldn't have. That's true.
No, they shouldn't have.
Leave them for the animals.
That's right.
Peckers. Yeah, absolutely. But that is by far the greatest story of the day. And
well, we both found it because I sure didn't find anything else.
No, and I did find something that is the personification of evil. I did not know, I hadn't heard about this. It's a story out of Germany. Susan, you can't. I got it from the Week magazine.
Yeah.
And it's.
Maybe I don't want to hear about this.
No, it's. And they don't, there's so many questions. It's just a little, a tiny little, this is a thing that happened. And I'm so horrified by just a little teeny bit that they told me, even though I have a million questions, I'm sure if I were to Google it, I could find the answer to my question. But it involves a woman, a German woman, who, for some reason, wanted to fake her own death. And that's one of the things they don't say why.
They don't say why, right.
And she's young. I'm looking at a picture. She's young, and she's beautiful. And here's how she went about it. She scoured Instagram for young, beautiful women who looked like her. And once she found a woman that looked like her, she would contact them and ask to meet them. And this went on for some time. She finally found someone who, and she found a woman who does look a lot like her, is actually more beautiful, and finally got someone who agreed to meet her. Out of the blue, "We look so much alike. I came upon your picture. I'd love to meet you."
Yeah, God, well, it's a horrible story.
Horrible story. So she not only killed the woman,
but
to mutilate her face, you know, so that enough of her face so that nobody would. But what about fingerprints? What about, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously, this didn't go as planned because this woman got caught. But she, can you imagine how, I can't even comprehend that level of evil.
Well, wow. Like the people that kidnap pregnant women and rip their bellies open and steal the baby.
Yeah, but I think that's clearly somebody who's insane. Don't you think? That's always.
I know. I mean, driven, certainly. Compelled, certainly. But insane, legally, not necessarily, no.
Well,
otherwise,
legally insane,
anybody committing any horrific crime would be, by definition, insane. That's not how it works.
No, it's very hard to prove you're insane enough. Because we want to, I don't know. Anyway, the only other thing that was even slightly enjoyable in the paper that I read was in the obit, because it is reminds you of the hysterical thing when Vice President Dick Cheney shot the guy that he was hunting quail with.
I did see that.
Yeah, he died. The guy that that Dick Cheney famously shot in the face
has died. But not
hunting.
As a result of his energy injuries.
He lived a long life.
He was 95,
95 years old. His name was Harry Whittington. And the unbelievable part of revisiting that story is how what a vile person Dick Cheney has always been. So he shoots this guy in the face accidentally. And the guy is, you know, rushed to a hospital. They did not make clear how life-endangering this thing was for him. Years and years later, he said that he, in fact, had a mild heart attack at the time. The thing created a heart attack because the bird shot had moved into his heart. He suffered a collapsed lung, and to the day he died, just the other day, he had 30 pieces of bird shot, courtesy of Vice President Dick Cheney, in his body. Including one near his heart.
Take that through a metal detector. Easy for me.
Well, in fact, can you imagine? Yeah, he would have to say at TSA, right?
I was shot by Dick Cheney.
I was shot by Dick Cheney. Remember that? No, of course they don't. But he kept his blood-stained vest. And he used it to show children, it said, the dangers of firearms. Now, the thing that stands out about the story then and now is that when this guy, who was almost killed, was released from the hospital, he held their clamor of the media wanting to hear him and see him. There was a news conference, and the first thing he said was, "My family and I are deeply sorry for all that Vice President Cheney and his family have had to go through this past week."
Oh, yeah.
What? He apologized. The guy who got shot in the face apologized to the guy who shot him and his family. I mean, that's not mind blowing.
It's ridiculous.
It's oh well. So anyway.
But you know what? I'm sorry. It reminds me. I mean, that was actually a funny story then, and sort of now. But the whole thing with the guns. There was a 13-year-old kid in Evanston, a suburb of Chicago, was found at school. Like another kid turned him in. He had a gun in his backpack, a loaded gun in his backpack. Well,
that
now,
doesn't qualify as news. That happens every 5 minutes.
So it was on the news here, and the kid sitting in jail, and nothing happened. And in fact, he probably didn't intend for anything to happen. He was just, being a 13-year-old kid walking around with a gun. And that kid is sitting in jail now. And I find myself feeling so sorry for him that he has parents that allowed him to be in this kind of danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's their kid that's paying the price for their wanton disregard for the safety rules if you're going to own a gun. You know, and now their 13-year-old kid, and I can imagine a good 13-year-old kid making a stupid mistake like that.
Sure. Kinda. Yeah.
Well, no, it
shouldn't be. What is he doing? He's not in jail. What's
he's in jail.
He's in jail. No.
Well, that's what they reported.
There's no way a 13-year-old is in
jail. He's in detention someplace.
Okay, in detention. It's like a jail. Shouldn't be. It should be the parents, I would think. Anyway.
My heart just sinks for these kids. They don't have a chance. They're victims either way.
All right. I'm not going to. But I was going to say that, back to Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
That
it to pick up the mood.
That historians at the time noted that Dick Cheney was not the first vice president to shoot someone while in office.
There was a duel.
Hello. Alexander Hamilton.
No, right?
Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr shot. Aaron Burr was the vice president. And he had better aim than Dick Cheney because he killed him. It was intentional, slightly different, but whatever. Susan, this is of little interest to you, but I just want to note that there is an election, three elections going on.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Right now, here in these here parts, that will, for the first time in 12 years, if all goes as we assume, which is always.
I think it's going to happen. You're going to switch the House.
Yes, we should. The Democrats should, after today, have a one-vote majority hold on the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, which is incredible because that legislature has been solid Republican for so long. And this was a very unusual situation that happened, but these three special elections, all in highly Democratic districts. So we're going to control.
But if they're in highly Democratic districts, how come they have Republicans in them now?
No, they don't have Republicans in them now. They have.
Then how does switching the seats make a difference?
Because what happened is there's three seats in question. Two of the seats were held by folks, and this is insane, who ran for higher office. And because it's legal, which makes no sense, were able to also run for the seats they held. In other words, they ran for.
They had a backup plan.
Yeah, one was on the ballot for Congress, but also for her House seat, state House seat. And another was running for lieutenant governor, but also held on to his House seat. Now, why is that?
It isn't in a lot of places, but that still doesn't answer my question.
Okay, so that's two of them. So they ran, they got both of them. She got elected to Congress. He got lieutenant governor. And so there's no one to fill their seat. So those two seats are empty.
Yes, that
then
I get.
There's a third, and that seat was vacated by the death of the guy holding the seat before at an untimely after the printing of the ballot. And he was elected, reelected dead, which often happens. Okay?
Yes.
So that's what happened. Those were three Democratic.
Okay, so because the one guy was dead, he was never a vote. And now if we put a live person in there, you'll get a one-person majority.
No, because some Republicans, other people won and lost. It wasn't just those three seats that determined the outcome of who was going to control.
Okay.
But when the legislature met, when the House met in, last month, they were stymied because no one had control. Technically, at that point, the Republicans had more votes because the Democrats were three seats shy. And it's been nothing but, as you would expect, political crap. Essentially, the House of Representatives has not been able to do anything. There's been nothing done. Just been sitting there. And they're getting paid, of course.
Of course they are. More than anyone else anywhere.
That's true. It's one of the largest legislatures I don't know that there's a state that has more legislators, state legislators per, thousand people than we do. It's a bloated, outrageous House and Senate here that is one of the highest paid legislatures as well. It's just, and any attempt to do anything about it fails. So there's
that. There's too many embedded interests at this point, so.
Yeah, that'd be it. Okay, so here's something that just drove me crazy. This online, whatever you call these things, BuzzFeed platform. I don't know.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed?
Yeah.
They have laid off a ton of their employees, and the CEO is quoted as saying that BuzzFeed will start using an AI chat bot to generate a lot of its product, which are quizzes and listicles and crap like that. They threw how many people out of work and they're going with a robot. And the CEO is quoted as saying, it's a new era of creativity.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Do you believe it? Creativity? In other words, what was he thinking when he said that? What was he thinking? What did he mean?
He has imbued AI with the creative abilities. It can create context.
So that's right. It's a new era where humans who have
are dispensable increasingly in every way. We already robots. We don't need them for manufacturing. We got robots. Now we don't need them to think. We've got AI, which is probably right more of the time.
What the hell? And you wonder why people are disgruntled, why people feel like things are awry, why nothing is why people are just in a state. And when people get in a state, bad stuff happens. I have decided that so many things are not working. Our political system isn't working. At the state level, at the national level, our medical system is a joke. I just want to say. I was reading an article about how doctors are so demoralized working, and nurses, anybody in the system, working within the healthcare system in this country, that they're leaving. They're leaving well before they intended to. I can see it just in my doctor. The weariness, the lack of joy in the job. And what it's because the friggin' bean counters have pulled hospitals away from their mission, which is why an awful lot of people became doctors and nurses. That
they actually wanted to interact and help people.
Right, and help people. And they place them in a system that makes it almost impossible. I don't know. I just, you know, someone had actually, Susan, it was the woman who got elected to Congress and also the State House, I believe it was her, who put out, trying to find it here. Don't tell me I don't have it. I don't have it. Oh, here it is. Her name is Summer Lee, and she made a big to-do about this report about the monolith healthcare provider in Pittsburgh. And this is not unusual. Almost every city has one monolith for their healthcare, right? Almost monopolistic. And the impact, UPMC is the biggest employer, I think, in the state. And its dominance over the healthcare here has not benefited the people who live here or the people who work there. And the report said, well, actually, Summer Lee, who's now a congressperson, wrote that like the steel corporations of the last century, UPMC has used its power to depress wages, degrade working conditions, extract money from the public, and ultimately create a crisis for the communities in which it operates and in which we live.
Yep.
They go on to say, you know, the names may be different, but in many ways, Pittsburgh and whole swaths of Western Pennsylvania should simply be considered company towns, just like in the old days. And,
as I was driving on one of my trips listening to some story, it was a story of just such a thing, a university, you know, healthcare system that was basically the only provider for two-thirds of the state and got into a war with the insurance companies over proper reimbursement. And basically stopped covering two-thirds of the state, stopped taking the insurance that they were having trouble with, which is what most of the states had. And totally locking out of healthcare two-thirds of the population of the state. And everybody was just being held hostage, and the state government was going, this is not the way this is supposed to work.
Absolutely. And you know what?
You're supposed to have a basic understanding that the health care of the population is the common goal.
Well, no, it's simply about
it's just appalling.
Just making money. And I understand that.
Yeah, it's monopolies,
you know,
everywhere.
That's right. Something that's not unusual is that a lot of the employees who work for UPMC which, by the way, has its own insurance, UPMC Insurance. So they are the insurer and the provider. And their employees are given UPMC Insurance, which, if you ask them, is outrageous. High deductibles, doesn't pay for much. And then they end up, there's some of these people end up working their tails off for UPMC for $14, $15 an hour, year after year after year. They might get sick, need care, and end up in medical debt to their own employer. What's wrong with this picture? I'm serious.
Until the legislatures have a will to enforce rules that we used to have.
Oh, unbelievable. And I just saw here that UPMC just bought its fourth hospital in Ireland. They have four hospitals in Ireland. They got hospitals in the Middle East. They've got hospitals all over the place. It is simply this humongous money-making machine that uses supposedly health care as its, I don't know, what is it? Money machine, but it has nothing to do with health
cover.
Really.
It's beard.
It's cover. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I feel that way about Washington University, who was in St. Louis, where they seem to be on this goal of gobbling up the whole adjacent community called University City, which has a very charming, vibrant downtown. Well, and which is the tax base for the, you know, a great deal of the city.
Everywhere.
And they just bought up half of that stuff. And when queried whether they were going to pay property taxes, they said, well, those parts of the building that remain, you know, retail spaces, but most of it we're going to be using for, you know, and I said, so the short answer is no.
No, they take them off.
I think there needs to be a rule that especially a university with a $1 billion endowment doesn't get to kill the public education of the towns that it abuts in furtherance of its own coffers when they're really just in the real estate business at that point. That's not in furtherance of an educational goal. That's not part of their not-for-profit. And I think we have to start getting very serious about what gets credited and when a business is no longer operating strictly according to that not-for-profit, because they're making profits.
Well, this
and they
is
are
an
plowing
ongoing.
Them back into the community. I mean, it's
this
just appalling.
It's appalling. It's an ongoing pet peeve of mine. And
It is possible to do deals. You know, you could say, no, I won't sell it to you unless you agree to pay the same amount, the property taxes on the same proportion of the building that were paid prior.
Listen, every mayor of Pittsburgh in the last 20 years has said that they intend to get UPMC and University of Pittsburgh and CMU and all the other, colleges and universities that own an extraordinary amount of the real estate in Pittsburgh to pay their fair share, because none of them have to pay much of anything. They're charities. They're tax exempt. And this mayor, our new mayor, has come up with a new plan, which will go nowhere, just like the last mayor's plan went nowhere, and the mayor before him, nowhere. Nowhere. They somehow just don't have – other cities have done better, doing what I think is called a pilot program. It's an acronym, pay in lieu of taxes. You create exactly an agreement between the city and the tax exempt entity, the hospital, to pay a certain amount in lieu of the property tax. And other cities have somehow managed to
Because it's not like they don't use city services. I mean, think about the number of police officers, EMTs, fire engines that are in those hospitals. I mean, you know, they depend on those services.
I know. It's just, again, it shows me that nothing really works. Nothing works anymore. And the people who control everything are these huge corporate interests and their enablers in the political universe. I don't know what we do. I don't know what we do. They control it all. They have screwed everything up.
Well, I don't understand how we went back to unfettered capitalism. I mean, we had learned this lesson once.
Republicans! Excuse me. They don't believe in regulation. Government's the problem. And little by little, there's a whole hunk of Americans who believe it. I don't know. It's beyond me. Beyond me. And you want to hear something else?
Oh, sure.
I know. I read this thing. It's from The Atlantic. And this is exactly what I think. And this is because I do believe I have a certain level of media literacy and an understanding, because it happened during my career when I got into television news. It really was news that we were doing. And I watched as it became entertainment. And in fact, I became part of, I was a major part of the entertainment aspect. The obvious entertainment aspect, you know, leave them laughing or something. And most Americans cannot tell where the entertainment begins and the news ends, or vice versa. Just totally, everything's entertainment. So this is what I read. I'm going to share it with you. We have never been more entertained. That is our luxury and our burden. We have never been able to share so much of ourselves. And as study after study has shown, we have never felt more alone. Screens are everywhere. The entertainment environment is so vast, you can get lost in it. It becomes difficult to process the facts of the world through anything except entertainment. The news has become entertainment, and entertainment has become the news. Stop and think about that, because that is true. Do you know how many people know what's going on in the world because of the late night shows?
Oh, yeah.
That treated news as entertainment, just flat out. And here is the last sentence, which is the truth. Dystopias often share a common feature: amusement in their skewed worlds becomes a means of captivity rather than escape. Think about that. What amusement was initially, what is it? It's for us to escape a while from the world. The fact is, we've created, again, the capitalists, the money people, have created a universe in which we are a constant audience. We are spectators. We are entertained, and we can't get out of it. And we are never more alone. We're imprisoned in this capitalist construct of entertainment. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. It's the truth. Yada, yada, yada.
Yada, yeah, okay. Yada, I'm just going to go yada, shoot yada, myself yada, now. Yada.
Listen. Well, I don't know. So what are we supposed to do? Not acknowledge what has happened to us?
No, it's the truth.
It's
I think it was
truth.
Aided a lot by the pandemic, by the way, that, I mean, because a lot of us still were up and around and not as couch bound as we seem to be now.
Yeah, but, you know, I even think, even talking about screens being everywhere, I mean, it is so true. I mean, all of us, you go to, I've been going to a lot of doctors lately, all of us are looking at our screen all the time. On the road, I go by this, an urban shopping center like complex, and that has outdoor restaurants and stuff. And they have put up this huge, it looks like a drive-in theater screen. And every time I drive by, it's there it is, video, and it's always sports. I mean, I don't know. So that even when you're outdoors in a, you know, even we're surrounded by this constant, I hate it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they've, I mean, that's a new big thing in housing. You're supposed to now have a TV outside. I thought we were supposed to go outside to get away from the TV.
Oh, dear. All right. That's it. I'm sorry. Hey, listen, don't blame me for being depressing. The world's depressing.
Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched part of them.
Yeah.
Is Lizzo losing weight?
She looks like she's losing weight to me.
I wonder if that's a mistake for her.
Well, I wouldn't worry that she's going to get too thin. But, you know,
yeah,
she works so hard, you know. You would think that it would be hard to keep the weight on, frankly, because she works so hard and moves so much.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Yeah, and so I think we need to make an intervention with Madonna. Of course, I've always thought that about Madonna.
I didn't last that long, so I didn't see her. She's, she wore out her welcome with me about 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I always thought she looked like she needed a bath, but now she just looks like, oh, my goodness, what happened to her? She's just a poster child for let yourself alone.
Oh, I see. So not, well, then, speaking of that, because I mentioned this, why am I blanking? Here's a name that's coming up, which is a basketball player, Oscar Robertson. Why am I blanking on the Motown guy who
Lionel Richie?
No, who performed along with Stevie Wonder. God dang it. See, this is the old Smokey Robinson.
Oh, okay. Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. Did you see him?
Yes.
Well, Susan, he looked like he had had 7,000.
Oh, more, you know, he's had that skin of his face stretched back over. Residing someplace on his backside.
It looked so terrifying to me. I couldn't even look at him. It doesn't look human. He's years old.
But did you see those four cute kids? There's somebody's some other R&B.
Yeah.
Singer's sons, and boy, were they cute.
Yeah, they were cute. I don't know. God help me. And Trevor Noah, who I like sometimes, is not a good host. I mean,
The material was just gasp-mockingly awful.
All right, Susan. I'm leaving.
I love gasp-mocking. I think gasp-mocking is good.
Well, it's like I've always used the term swell foop. So maybe we'll just use gab smocking as well. You know, it happened in one fell swoop.
Oh, and you say svel foop?
Svel foop.
It's like Sisti Uggler. Yeah, it just works.
It's like 50 what?
Sisti Uggler. That's from an old, from what's his name that used to do the Hello Mother, Hello Father. But he also did the, he did a thing on Cinderella.
Alan Sherman. Alan Sherman. Hello Mother. Hello, Father.
Well, did he also do the
Here
thing
am,
with the takeoffs on Cinderella?
I doubt. I
Cinderella, Cinderella, Cinderella. Well, in Cinderella, you had a Sisti Uggler, I think, instead of an ugly sister.
Oh, an ugly sister. All right. Oh, man, we're so fucking old. All right,
yes,
I'm out
we
of here.
Are. We can do references from, you know.
And no one gets them anymore. I used to joke that Katie Kay's audience was on life support. I'm on life support.
Well, no, we were just having a conversation with my grandchildren that Nana was born before there was television.
Actually, that's not true.
Well,
Nana was born. You were born before there was television in your house.
In our house.
There was
right.
television.
Yeah, right.
We were late. For some reason, we didn't get it till I don't know when. 53?
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, at least 53. I think because I was old enough to draw on the TV, so I was at least 3, so it was probably 54.
Okay. So, and I'm glad because I think it helped my mental health, my intellectual, evolution, because I didn't have that boob tube at a very, very young age. Anyway.
All right. Well, along the lines of so we're so old, explain to me Harry Styles.
I can't, and we're so over time. And
okay,
I don't
goodbye.
Get it. I do not get it at all. But I don't get so much that it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
and
but I can appreciate its value.
He aged out.
You know, fooey on Harry Styles. That's all I have to say. All right, goodbye.
I don't like his clothing choices usually, but
well, I'm not even getting even, there. I don't know. He doesn't. I'm looking for the talent to get me not to care about the clothing. I just don't. I don't get it.
And how does he beat out? You know, all those
really talented people.
I don't know.
Okay,
you tell me.
I was just all checking right. in. Okay, we're yeah. very, I gotta go. Bye.
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 Bye, everybody. Sorry for depressing the hell out of everybody. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. Have a great day.
Lynn Cullen Live, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.